Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here I am. It's Nikki Glaser. I am back in St. Louis, Missouri, in our studio. So happy to be back home. I don't even remember the last time I was here. I walked in the studio and there was like a setup for, I think, when I did the Bethany Frankel podcast. I just like left it and there was a lot to do this morning to rearrange. But I'm back. And with me is Anya, Noah, and Brian Frangi back again. You heard him yesterday. He's back. And he's very close up to the, he's very close up to the video camera. Like he's, you look like you're, you know, zooming with us from Ukraine in a bunker. I mean, it really
you
is.
You look like Lady Gaga at the Oscars with a weirdly close camera angle. Did you see
oh,
that?
Oh, wait.
It was insane.
Of her without makeup on?
Yeah, but it was like, and now Lady Gaga. And then it closes up way closer than anyone would ever think. And then it's just like, it's like this, like her singing the whole time, like this.
Just like in her, like on her lips.
Close up on her lips.
I kind of like it.
It was cool. It was just
lips that have so much filler in them, but she's not ashamed of that.
I did see the clip of her helping that man up. She helped that man up.
Yeah, isn't that so nice of her doing a normal thing that last time, what did she do? Wasn't there some like old woman on stage with her or something, or some old man?
It was Liza,
and she was
Minnelli.
Like, oh yeah, okay. So what did she do with Liza? She just like didn't kick her down a flight of stairs or something, and so we're all just shocked. Like, why Liza is like, it?
I don't know which flashcard is coming.
Oh, that's a good Liza.
And then Gaga's like, I got you.
She did it in a way that was like, I am demonstrating to the rest of you celebrities that you're supposed to be nice to people. Like, she did it in a very, like, look, I'm not just going to walk past this man who tripped. I'm going to go and help him. And I'm going to do it in a way that shows everyone
apparently
else the role model.
Oh. Yeah. Apparently she knew him. Like, she is, he's a photographer. She's familiar with him. Like, my friend messaged me and was like, she knows him. And then did you see him, like, kind of pat her ass and she, like, didn't care for that? Did you see that aftermath
no,
of it?
No.
So she helps him and then he kind of like, he's just like, she's wearing this very low back thing within kind of like netting around it. So her like butt is kind of out, but not. And he kind of like pats her. I think he was just so confused, like embarrassed with what just happened. I think that it's going to be a new thing of photographers falling so that they can get attention and get this amazing shot, because that was a huge moment. People sold that footage. I mean, that was a big thing. Can I just say another thing about Lady Gaga? There is a lawsuit against her by the woman who gave her dogs back. So Lady Gaga said, I will give $500,000. I think it was $500,000. For a return of my dog safely, no questions asked.
What?
Now, we all know what that is about. Like, when someone says no questions asked, it's like, if you stole my dogs, I'm not going to prosecute you. Just give me my dogs back, right? Like, this is a thing that is used with, if I ever got my dog stolen, I would do a no questions asked too. I just want my dog back. I'm not going to get you in trouble. You have to stay true to that in order for it to work for other people. So right now she's being sued by the woman who her stepson, I guess, is the one who stole her dogs. And she found out, and so she returned Lady Gaga's dogs. Now this woman is being charged with being an accomplice at some point, but oh, no. She never got the $500,000. I'm sorry. If you say no questions asked, $500,000, you can't renege on that. You can't. You have to go through with it, no matter if they're the criminal or not. And I know it's not fair. I know everyone's like, how dare this woman sue? It was part of the, that's how you get your dog back, is that you promised $500,000, no questions asked. And now the boy who cried wolf, no criminals are going to trust that now. So now people aren't going to get their dogs back when they say no questions asked. Thoughts?
What kind of dogs?
It doesn't matter. I mean, obviously designer fucking stupid dogs.
I think they're Frenchies
that have breathing issues. What?
They're targeted dogs that are worth a lot of money on the market. And
yeah,
it's not just Lady Gaga's dogs. It's dogs of that breed. I forgot what breed it was.
It's like Frenchies. English bulldog. French bulldog. Yeah. The ones that have breathing issues because people like the way they look or whatever. It's really a cool practice that we're all.
The boy who called Frenchie.
If you have to, if you're going to give a reward for your dog's back, you're going to have to give caveats like, and this is not like the Lady Gaga situation.
Right. Yes. And that's a long poster.
That's
There's too many words. No one's going to read it. And
the
FBI
is going to be doing that now from now on. I mean, how are they going to catch criminals?
Well, everyone's so mad at this woman. How dare she ask for that? She was part of it. It's like, yeah, we know that was part of it. Is that's why you put no questions asked. If it was just an innocent person turning in dogs, you wouldn't need to put that. And so now you're going back on it. This isn't Succession. You can't go back on everything you say that you're going to do. What are you, fucking Logan Roy? Stick to your word. Your word is gold. I'm annoyed by it, but I think that a lot of people would disagree with me. In the Reddit threads I was reading, people were like, how dare this woman? She, you know, because she is now being charged with
aiding
and abetting the stealing the dogs, because she maybe had a part in it. It doesn't matter if she had a part in it. She returned the dogs safely. She gets the $500,000. I'm sorry.
But you know what they say, Nikki, you can't make a tomlet
without breaking some Greggs. I get it.
Maybe the $500,000 was a little bit overzealous. You know, that sounds like an emotional number, not a logic. Like, I bet you they would have returned the dogs for like $50,000, and then she would have probably paid it.
Yeah,
but grandma. I think grandma, I've got $500,000.
We're doing
grandma.
An impression of Lady Gaga and her. In her,
I'm doing an impression of Nikki doing an impression.
Yeah, that's true.
And what about the dog walker that got shot?
Yeah,
I mean, what's the whole situation sucks, and it was very upsetting, and it happened in Hollywood. I have, you know, like my friend lives like right around the corner from where it happened, and I'm frequently over there and I walk my dog.
No
over
one
there.
Wants your dog. It's a rescue.
My dog is a 11-year-old Chihuahua mix that I don't think anybody would want to steal.
No, exactly. And that's why you did the right thing. You have a dog. Sometimes my dad left the car door open when we went to the grocery store the other day and Luigi was in there, and I go, lock it. He goes, no one wants this dog. And I go, that's a good point. I mean, Luigi's beautiful. But what a burden to take on. You're not going to resell Luigi unless you would want Luigi. I don't know. Unless you knew about Luigi and how sweet he was. First glance, you're not going to want Luigi, even though he's beautiful. But he's not going to be. He's not a commodity on the market. But speaking of dogs, I've been messaging the shelter nonstop about this dog Huey that I saw on Pet Finder, which is the Tinder for you getting matched with an animal. And I found this little chihuahua. They won't write me back. I got to call them today and maybe go to the shelter. But I'm scared to go to the shelter because I don't want to see sad dogs. I don't want to see all the pit bulls that are just like sad in the corner. Like that's why I like rescues. They go in and they see the stuff and they get the dogs out. That's why I always am so reverential of rescues, because they see all the stuff that I don't want to see. And then they dress up the dog and they groom it and they get, you know, fix it up. But they see horrible things that I don't know if I want to go. I will want to save them all. Did you get your dog from a rescue, Brian, or did you go to the shelt?
I got it from a rescue, from the Real Bark.
The Real Bark.
Echo okay. Bark. There's a store called the Real Bark, and then the rescue is called Echo Bark. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And I used to volunteer at an animal shelter in on Long Island.
Oh,
and,
wow.
It's definitely really sad, because there's just some dogs that just don't get adopted for whatever reason. And they're like amazing dogs. And you go there and you walk them and they're like amazing. And they just sit there for years. But they're so happy when you come walk them. They like get to know you like you're their guy.
So you would walk dogs?
Yeah, I would go into the shelter and, you know, you can volunteer to take the dogs out for walks. Like you go like 3 days a week and you walk them around, and I also did like training where you can be a man that they attack.
What? Did you get to wear that cool big suit?
You wear a cool big suit.
Yes.
And then you go in there and you act.
You get to dress like Brendan Fraser in The Whale.
Yeah,
it's a long process.
I use the same exact suit actually that they use in The Whale, and the dog says I didn't like that movie, and then they attack you. And that's pretty much the point of the whole thing.
And then
thing.
You have to give a really tearful speech at the end.
Yeah. You have to look really unstable. Like, I mean, poor Brendan Fraser. I'm happy everything's working for him. But when the fanfare falls, when the fireworks are going up, there's fireworks and now the ashes are starting to fall. There's going to be, this is a set. Someone should check in on Brendan Fraser this week.
Yeah.
Next week, actually. Because this week is going to be good. It's still going to be like really exciting for him. But based on my own depression and when big things happen and then it starts to just like everyone doesn't really care anymore, because inevitably no one cares anymore after you do anything in life, literally anything, especially women who are getting married, Anya not included because you are, you know, level-minded.
A princess.
And Brian. Brian's getting married in June. Anya's getting married in July. Noah's getting married TBD. But... like, I always feel bad for women after weddings. Like, there's going to be a fallout where no one cares about you anymore. And this whole thing that was your life planning is no longer there. And I think Brendan Fraser, people do wellness check for sure on that unstable guy. And I'm calling him unstable as someone who is unstable myself many times. And other people have called unstable online. So I get it. It's not nice to do. But he is not, I can't watch his acceptance speech for the Oscars. It's just too, it's too triggering of like, this guy is not well.
There are so many whale metaphors too, if you listen. He wrote that speech with some nautical metaphors.
No way, did he really?
Yes. So it's hard to get swept up in the emotion of it because you're like, this is not off the top of his head.
Oh my God.
And yet there are tears, there's vocal quivering. Then he thanks his children, I think. And I'm like, I'm worried about his kids because their dad is not stable.
They'll be fine. I mean, they're rich, at least that. But
somebody should do a wellness check on the photographer who fell next week. He's just going to be a photographer again.
I mean, that's a really good point.
It's true.
I'm not the guy who fell anymore.
But isn't that why people get, like, I really do. I used to have a joke about it, but people get, let's just say people who have simpler lives, and simple is not, it sounds negative, but, you know, your wedding is like kind of the thing that you went to college to go find your husband, and then you get a husband, you get married, and then you have kids, and then you get attention for that. And we're all seeking attention as someone, I'm just saying, I obviously seek attention. I found a way to get it like fucking mainlined to my aorta. Is that a fucking vein? But like, women, you get, what you do is you get in a relationship and then you go, oh my God, when is he going to say I love you? Then he says I love you. Then you're like, when are you moving in together? Oh, we're moving in together. Oh, exciting. Then you get engaged. Oh my God, we got engaged. Then you get married. Oh my God, we got married. And then you're like, and then you're like, oh, now we're pregnant. Oh my God, we got pregnant. You have a kid. Oh my God, we got pregnant again. Another kid. Then we go, and then you get divorced. And then you do it all over again. Like, we need to keep getting, because then, and I do believe that, because I get do it. Every time I finish something, I'm like, what's next? I can't celebrate it. It's just, it's never enough. I need to go on to the next thing. But I feel like you guys, Brian, your fiance, Allie, I don't know her that well, but just hearing you guys talk about the wedding, it doesn't seem like her life is like wedding and she's going to be okay. She kind of has an identity beyond it.
Well, I have a solution for you and all those people. I know the answer.
What is it?
You got to start you got to start planning your funeral.
Whoa, dude. Oh my God, I'll do a paperless post.
Yeah, do it. You might, you know, find a caterer, you get a DJ, and then you know when the funeral happens, you're not going to have any postpartum depression.
Oh my God, that's such a good
point. You'll be dead.
Yeah, you'll be dead.
I'm going to go on Tyler Henry's show when I'm deceased, and I'm going to complain about how bored I am. Just to get more attention, I'm going to do a press tour
through Tyler Henry scribbling. On Tyler Henry.
Wait a second, that's a really good point.
Yeah, you go get a dress. You go get a fitting. You do a fitting for your funeral dress that you're going to wear in your coffin.
Yeah, I think about my death all the time. And I'm very, like, I really did tell Chris, because last week I had a really bad paparazzi photo. Not paparazzi, but like red carpet photo. I wish that guy would have fallen. I wish every single photographer who was taking pictures of me at Ted Lasso would have fallen. And it would have been blurry. But I was really worried. It's still the most recent picture of me that's, you know, Getty Images, which sucks because I went to this thing over the weekend where I looked gorgeous. And I'm like, I'm refreshing Getty constantly, be like, can I die? Because they're going to pull the most recent. And not that I plan on dying, but like I'm crossing streets a little bit more cautiously. I was a little bit worried on the plane yesterday, crash wise, because I even told Chris, I said, I'm not kidding you. If I die tragically, you cannot let them run the Ted Lasso photos. You just can't. You gotta, and I just need, because listeners, if you're not famous, you'll just pick out a picture right now that you put in your obituary, because that's going to be the picture that they're going to use. Like, pick it out now. You can, but I'm not going to have control over it.
If they don't use that picture, they're going to use your graduation photo.
Or the most recent photo of you, which is bullshit for old people. If you're an old person and you don't like the way you look right now, you better tell your family and friends, this is the picture I like of myself from 1977. Use this, because this was just as much me as this old woman or old man is right now. Like, I used to get upset because, you know, when Barbara Bush died, I'm like, can we get one picture of her in her 20s? Was she ever in her 20s, or did she always look like she was born in 1920? Like, every single photo of her is, I've never known her to look young, but she was a young woman.
I think the opposite. I think it's sad when someone dies and they're 90 and then they only use like the 20-year-old picture of them. It's like they had 70 years after that. You can't find a flattering one in the 60s.
I don't like the picture of them when they're like 90 in a wheelchair and they're just like, they look like that. They should be, you know, remember on Today Show used to do like celebrate 100-year-old's birthdays, and they would flash the picture, and it would always just, it was always people who didn't know there was a picture being taken of them. It just looked like they're just like staring in the corner, they're senile, they're losing their mind. Like, don't use that photo. Like, and use a pretty picture of them. But I get what you're saying, Anya, like they have a full life after that. Just pick your picture that you want run, because we're all going to die. And if you want to have a nice little photo spread in the local newspaper, which no one reads because everything's digital, like, pick out your photo. I have a playlist for my, you know, funeral of, like, when you show the slideshow. I do want, you know, I hope you had the time of your life. I do want that. It really worked in the Seinfeld finale. It was also played at the funeral of my friend, and it really brought down the house in terms of tears. I just think it's going to be a good one. I would like to use that. I want to say that.
The Seinfeld finale.
I want to use In My Life, The Beatles. I would like that one to be a part of it. The slideshow is going to be pretty long. It's going to be about 7 songs. I'm going to run out of photos.
I have She's a Jar clocked also.
Yeah, She's a Jar. That's going to happen. That might be like the procession when my dad walks me down the aisle with my casket.
Oh my God, just EJ.
Are you going to do a first dance too after that?
Well, proper body up.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I saw something on Reddit last night where people thought there was a fire because there was this black smoke like flying in the, like just huge plumes of black smoke. And so this person, you know, went to go find the source of it to be like, what's burning down? And it was a crematorium. And they usually burn bodies at night so you can't see it. But this was like they were backed up or something. So you just saw the black smoke in the air. Isn't that fucking scary?
Yeah.
I don't even think about that. Yes, dude. But we all,
know, in the In Memoriam at the Oscars, did you watch that at all?
Left off a lot of people, I heard.
Yeah. Anne Heche.
How do you leave off Anne Heche and Mira Sorvino's dad, and then there was one other guy.
The woman who was killed in the movie that Alec Baldwin was in.
Oh my God.
Helena you had one Hutchins. Job. Oh, Helena Hutchins? Well, she died. Was she maybe in the last one? Because she died in September or something of 2021.
Ah, okay.
Well, we have a lot to talk about, including more Oscar thoughts. We're going to go to break. We're back. We're here with Brian Frangie, Anya Marina, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of. A degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward.
You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay, we're back. I just last night got into the murders. Well, how do you say their name? Murdoch. No, it's not Murdoch.
Series. I had to wait for Alec Murdoch to say his own name, and he says,
me too.
Alec Murdoch.
Murdoch. It's Murdoch. Murdoch. Did you watch it, Noah? Have you seen it?
No, but I've seen like stuff on it.
You know about, yeah, stuff on it. It's not that good. Sorry. Everyone loved it. Me, no, I was a little bit, listen, I watched all three episodes, but by the end, I was just, it was fine. It was interesting, but I think that they didn't spend enough time on, like, I don't know why, I don't know how he did it. Did he hire a hitman to kill his wife and son, or did he do it? What do we think?
I think he did it.
He did it, you think?
I think he did it. I think his son was recording him because he was probably fighting with his wife. His son recorded him. And then his
wait,
son
why do you know that? What is that? Where does that come from?
His son has a video of his father talking to his mother angrily. And they won't tell us what's in the video. But
wait,
it's right before the son is killed. Yes.
Oh, well, maybe I didn't finish it. Okay. It's right did before. You see Murdoch, Brian?
I didn't see it. No, I mean, this is the... Every time you ask me if I saw something, I do watch things.
No, I know. It's okay. But I hadn't seen it till last night.
You watched in your backyard.
Yeah, this weekend was...
you possum cam 24/7. You don't have time to watch.
I'm on the fifth season of Possum Cam now, and I gotta say, it's really gone downhill since the possum left.
Fifth season, the possum's not moving the whole time. It's pretty stagnant. Oh my God.
Well, wait for it. He wakes up.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's a huge twist. The finale. But anyway, I watched Murdoch last night when I got home. I just got a new couch, and it is so awesome. I was like, I've never wanted to like sleep on my couch. I'm not someone who ever would sleep on a couch. I think it's uncomfortable. I don't get it, but this is like a bed couch.
Instead of
freezing my eggs, I bought a couch. I spent $6,000 on a fucking couch. That, by the way, I got this couch because my friend Sarah Lena has this couch. I went to her house. I saw her couch and I was like, I already ordered Kirsten's couch. By the way, I only get things for my house that like other people have. And I trust that my friends who have good taste, I just go, okay, I'll get that. Right. Like I don't have taste in my own. So I got Kirsten's couch and then I went to Sarah Lena's and I was like, cancel the order. This is the couch. And also Sarah Lena was like, girl, this couch is $3,200. I just got this. And I'm like, this couch was $3,200. Mind you, she got the floor sample and she got like a huge discount for some reason. I think it's because she is a supermodel. It's just like there. She was just like, girl, you got, and she just like is a savvy consumer. So she just got a like she's just good. And then I order it. And it's $6,000. Just like, how did this happen? I know I had delivery fees. She like found a flatbed truck and had some guy deliver it probably for free. Like I had to just, you know, but it is worth it. It's beautiful. It's too big for my living room. It should be in a multi-million dollar home that has a lot of space. So it's like a couch for like a rich person in a, you know, fairly modest living
really
room,
are you like
asleep.
Tiptoeing around it, like trying to get your body around it and the
it's
wall?
Just huge. It's too big for the room for sure. It just looks nice. It's nice though, but it's so cozy. Chris and I will never have to touch each other again on the couch. That's nice for him. Old pillow fort. He builds a fort of pillows between us at night, Brian. That's just a thing like that he does. I have to like sneak my hand through the pillows like a weird, like a British garden snake, like through the rocks to access him. And then, so yeah, he'll enjoy
and
that.
Her hand
so we
gets
got a bed couch
by the snake.
Well, you know, me and my fiance, Allie, we sleep in separate beds.
Okay, do you have sleep apnea or what's happening?
No, we just don't want to be in the same bed. We want to sleep. We prefer
like next to each other, same beds. Like some people put double beds together.
Like an I Love Lucy where they're just
like Lucy and Desi. Yeah.
No. Like sleep, like you, they're touching, but they're separate units. So that when you
We have separate beds, separate rooms. We have separate rooms and we have separate couches.
Wait, do you just not live together? Is that what we're just deducing here?
I live in Tennessee and she lives in Nebraska.
So that's a weird way to say that it's a long distance relationship.
It's a long distance relationship. I've never actually met her. You know, she I saw pictures online. No, we have separate beds, separate rooms, and it's wonderful.
How
and
did you get to that? Did it start that way
I with said, you two? You know, I lived with your boyfriend's brother, Tim.
Yeah.
And the moment that he said we decided to be roommates, I laid down the ground rules. One of the first things I ever said to Tim was, we are getting separate dishes. If your dishes are dirty in the sink, not my problem. I'm going to have clean dishes. And then we had separate dishes the whole time, and we never thought about dishes. So then when we moved in together, I don't know who to say. I didn't move in with her. She didn't move in. We moved in together. I said, we're doing separate beds. And she's like, really? And I was like, you don't understand. It makes everything so much better. We both have different sleep schedules. We sleep differently. Jack sleeps in the bed that my dog. And it works out great. Works out great.
He doesn't have a separate bed.
Jack sleeps. Jack
does he have separate dishes? Nope, same dishes.
What's the sleep schedule? Still can't talk. What's their sleep schedule?
Anya has temporary veneers, by the way. So if you hear her slurring, it's because she's
wanting to kill herself.
I generally wake up early, and if Allie's not going to work, she'll sleep in late. And like on the weekends, she likes to sleep in, and I like to wake up early and start running around the house.
Okay, let me just lob some questions your way. Just lob some things that, like, because I'm on board with this. Listen, I'm someone who doesn't like commitment. I don't even want to live with my partner yet. Like, it just seems like too much. It's kind of scary. I probably would do the same thing. I want Chris to like move into my building and live near me. Like, but I do like after we, like, when we go to bed and we, you know, do our thing, which is just do the crossword puzzle together. No, like instead of sex right now, I would say most of our time in bed, Chris and I are playing spelling bee or Wordle or crossword puzzles. But spelling bee is our new thing. And I got Anya into it too, the New York Times spelling bee. It's like Boggle, but it's really fun. Anyway, it's so hard and it's fun. But that's what we usually do. We play spelling bee separately and then we share our words that we found and then we reach a genius level and then we feel accomplished and then I sneak my hand through the snake. I go, I'm going to get it. And then he goes, don't get it. And then we kind of giggle and then we go to sleep. I enjoy in the middle of the night, like if I go to the bathroom and I come back, he's a really heavy sleeper. So if he wakes up, he kind of just goes like, and he like sticks his head up and he like just like gives me his lips and I just like give him a kiss and then we go back to sleep. I like those like intimate moments in the middle of the night. Sometimes when I can't sleep, I like to like watch his back like rise and fall as he breathes. Like but then I also fucking hate that I can't like sprawl out and like put my leg up in a different way that I want and that I can't listen to my phone without my AirPods in because it hurts your ears when you sleep on the AirPod. And so I would like to just have the speakerphone next to my head, which is what I do when I sleep. So there are benefits to both. Do you feel like you're lacking in any way when you can't share a bed? And do you have a separate bed for Hanky Panky or whose bed do you go to?
Well, that's a great point about the earbuds because I listen to a podcast to go to bed every night. I need somebody talking in order to fall asleep. I need a bedtime story basically. Okay. And it has to be, you know, sometimes I listen to a podcast at night and it's too interesting. And then I'm up for like 2 hours and I'm like, what?
Succession. I was choosing that over sleeping. Yeah. I need a podcast that's like, I need Sam Harris podcast because it's so dense. Mm-hmm. I try to pay attention and then my brain starts getting tired because I'm trying to figure out what he's using the word partitioned a lot. Like there's words that I just am like overwhelmed by that it's so dense that I feel like it makes me fall asleep because my brain gets tired trying to keep up with it. And then Stuff You Should Know is also a good podcast to listen to because those guys have gentle voices. Do you recommend what podcasts do you listen to fall asleep? Anyone's?
I have not found one that consistently makes me fall asleep. Every time I think there's a boring podcast, all of a sudden they come out with a banger episode that keeps me up all night and I can't sleep. I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. Sometimes I'll listen to like fantasy football podcasts where they're just like listing out players, and that I can fall asleep to usually, because it's like, okay, they're just like, this player is pretty fast and then this player is slow. And then what about this player? Well, he's fast.
The tone of voices is so important. Like, yeah. I just found this ASMR video that is crushing it for me. I want to just direct people to it if they need something to listen to fall asleep to. And it might creep you out because you're not into ASMR, but if you are, this is the one to do. It's her name is Astro Glow 777. She only has like she doesn't have that many followers. Astro space Glow 777. Glow 777 is one. And you listen to ASMR magazine flipping, soft spoken. Boom. I cannot get through it. I have listened to it when I am wide awake. I have not gotten past. Every time I go, oh my God, this is the last part I remember, and then I make it maybe one more sentence and then I'm out. And it's worked for me now probably like 7 times. There's also a TED talk about like loving yourself by this like Irish woman that I can't get through,
like,
that
I'm
one.
I'm bored.
Oh yeah. I'm like, this isn't working for me. Wait, so there's so some. Okay. So then you listen
you out,
to these things,
like,
and then
roofies you into sleep.
Oh yeah, for sure. If there's something just so soothing about it, there's something about it that just, it's like a lullaby. It's like it's just being talked to. I have a theory that people who like ASMR didn't get enough love from their mother as a child, in terms of like they were just stressed out as a child and they didn't get like a comforting like voice that like made them feel safe, or they did. Yeah. And it was like the thing they hung, like my grandma used to like rub my back and talk like really softly. And it was really like, I would only get it, you know, once every 2 weeks when I saw her. So I was always like jonesing for it. And not that my mom is like not a loving person. She is, but she just isn't like a soft spoken, like things are okay. Like I would just hear them like singing in the next room, like Fleetwood Mac. And it would just be like loud and annoying. So, okay. Back to your sleeping situation. Can we talk about what you do for sexual relations and whose bed you choose, and then how you guys like go like, oh, see you tomorrow. Like, how do you like get her out of there?
I'll leave. I'll leave after and go into my room, and
you'll leave before it begins.
Yeah, I'll say, you know what, this isn't for me. And
she's like, yeah, I'm good.
Thanks, but
I gotta get to my podcast.
Yeah, there's something else I want. I'm not changing the subject, but I wanted to go back to what you were just saying, which now I forgot what you were just saying, so I can't.
ASMR,
even
soft-spoken mothers.
I have ASMR. That it affects me. Like when I'm on the subway train, I zone out all the time. And it's interesting that you say that, because I did feel like I have a great mom, but I didn't get a lot of. I don't think we're not very like touchy. You know, there's not like a lot of hugging and stuff going on. That's an interesting theory.
And Molly Shannon has it, and I read Molly Shannon. Molly Shannon was the first celebrity I saw to come out about ASMR, because when I first had it, it was really shameful that I liked this thing. It was almost like pornography, because it's like these videos are so weird. It was just this community of like weirdos, and we didn't talk about it outside of it. And there would be videos about how to come out to your parents as having ASMR. Like, it was a weird thing. And now it's more culturally accepted. But I remember Molly Shannon was the first person on Conan. She talked about having ASMR and liking listening to people like brush people's hair or something. Yes. And that's not my trigger, but sometimes it is. And then I read her book, and her mom died when she was 4, and she never got maternal affection. Aww. And like, and consistent, like, if you didn't feel safe as a child, like, I was always scared of monsters, and my parents, I would go like, I'm scared, and they would just be like, go back to bed. There was never any like relief from it. I don't know why I would have done in their shoes. They did the best they could, and they weren't like dismissive of my feelings, but I just didn't ever feel, I was always fearful going to bed. Like, I was in, you know, I was in a war zone or something. Like, it was just constantly like shivering under the covers, but I didn't want to be too under the covers because I would get hot, and then I didn't want to expose my skin because then the axe murderer could like chop off my arm, but the blanket would protect me from the axe.
Yes.
So that's interesting. I think there might be a correlation there. Someone more with a science brain should look into it.
I do also want to say that—
what's your triggers? Why Subway?
The camera where you this thing where you're like putting your hands close to the camera lens and like it covers like the top two corners of the lens. That that triggers me. And then the droning.
Wait, what?
The lens when they cover up the lens.
Wait, what? Why does that?
Down, and then they do.
No. I think he's just talking. This is separate. This is like the videos you watch on YouTube.
Yes, and they'll be like this stuff. There's hand movements.
Oh, so that's like
like brushing. Like, do you like the sounds of brushing, or you like the visuals?
Petting your visual head.
For some reason, like you're looking at it, and it's just like you'll see some ASMR videos where they're like constantly moving their hands across the camera.
Interesting. That's why I like it. It's so much like porn because there are so many different ways to get off with an ASMR brain. Like that would never do it for me. Whispering really haunts me when people are like, "Hi everyone, welcome back," and they like click their fingers or they like tap on something. I'm just like, stop. It's like it's misophonia. Like it hurts my ears. But then a woman just being like, "I really like Zoe Kravitz's outfit here. It's like, I like how it's simple and the khakis pair with the white shirt really like perfectly. And I just, I don't know, I think she's really cool." And then they like turn the page. I'm just like, like my brain is coming.
That actually made me zone out.
Does it make you guys feel good? Or does it just soothe you? Or does it produce an actual like
There's definitely a chemical reaction going off. It feels, when I can trigger it, Brian, I don't know about you, but it's like coming a lot. Like it honestly, you have to like kind of stay away from ASMR for a little bit I think most people who are into ASMR at this point, if you've been doing it more than a year, you have burnt out your ASMR, like the real, where it floods down your, like, it's like a spinal tap. Like it floods down your spine. It starts in your head, kind of tingles, and it's kind of like goes, it's like a brain orgasm.
But I only have that when someone is talking right above my head. But then it's like a physical thing, and I go, and it's like amazing feeling, but tickly. But that's the only time I get
It's not that.
Talking right by my head. Okay,
that's sexual. I feel like that can be almost sexual because it's like a tickle. ASMR never feels like, like, Brian, do you agree? ASMR doesn't feel like something like, woo, like a roller coaster.
It's post-coitus.
Yes.
It's like
warmth.
After you have finished, you are laying there and you're just like, you don't want to talk frequently. You might fall asleep. And it is just kind of like this zoned out. Like what I wind up doing. And this is why it's bad that it happens on the subway for me, is what I wind up doing is I am just staring into space at nothing, and I can't break
Move.
The gaze.
Yes.
As soon as I break the gaze, then it's over, and I don't want it to be over. So I'm just like zoned out staring, and then sometimes there's like a guy, I never do it when there's like a woman across from me, but when I check myself, but if there's like an old man with a newspaper and he's like, what the hell is this guy looking at? And I'm just zoned out. That's bad.
What percentage of the time does this happen to you too when you're listening to ASMR? 100?
Zero for me now. Like it's maybe I get triggered because I'll wean myself off. So I'll just listen to podcasts for a while to soothe myself to sleep. So I won't do ASMR videos. For a while I was watching the eating ASMR videos, and that gives me a soothing feeling. Like let me just say, like, for me now, ASMR videos, most of the time it's like having sex but not coming. Like it feels good. And let me just say, most of the time women don't need to come from sex. Like I'm fine not coming. Like I think that men get it in their head that like we need to come every time, because you do, because it's like, what would be the point of just like, but women can have fun and feel good during sex and we do want to come, but like sometimes trust us if we're like, we don't need to. It still feels good. So for me now, I think ASMR is like, it's intimacy. It feels like intimacy. But then there are times where I've staved myself for a while and I will get hit by I'll just go into my YouTube and like find a new kind of trigger. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa. And it lasts probably, I don't know, like it lasts like 20 seconds for like the good feeling. And then it kind of just, then you're in that numb state where you're like, and then I probably fall asleep because I'm so relaxed. It's like, it's the feeling of safety, warmth. It's like it's the best feeling in the world next to orgasm. Like it's right up there with it. And I'm so lucky that I have it. But, I definitely think it's due to, mothers who are not that, or children who felt distressed and sought like just a comforting voice like this. But I don't like when they try too hard. Like, it's almost like the same way I look at porn. I don't like porn where the girl is like, like, it's so obvious that you're acting. I mean, I think most people don't like that. I don't know why it's such a huge part of porn then for everyone to be like, like, why is that a part of it?
Like, no one,
who likes that?
That sounds like a baby crying.
Listen, well, I think they know what they're doing. And so I want it to be natural. I want it to be like a woman flipping through a magazine the way she would if she were just like, if her, like, her nephew was sitting like in the crook of her arm and she was just trying to like, let's get ready to go to bed and like talking softly, but not trying too hard. I don't like when people are like tapping things too much. I'm like, would you just tap normally like that? No, like stop putting on a performance. I don't want it to be performative, much like I don't want stand up to be performative. I don't like performative when things are supposed to be real. If that makes any sense.
Yes.
Like I don't like Broadway shows. This is why I don't like Broadway. It is too locked into performative.
Well, Broadway shows are like supposed to be the opposite of real. It's supposed to be as far away from real as
Broadway play.
But like sometimes people say like Broadway shows are cheesy. And I'm like, yeah, that's the whole point. They're supposed to be cheesy.
Yes, totally.
And I think if you want to enjoy a Broadway show, you just have to go in knowing, like, it's like when you watch a reality show. It's like,
it's embarrassing to watch people act sometimes. And like, even if it's like that one, what's that one play that's like My Four Sons or like All My Sons? What's the one that like all the best actors are in? You guys know what I'm talking about. Someone knows what I'm talking about. But like watching like stage
Death of a
actors,
Salesman?
Yeah, yes, yes. Okay. It's about sons. Thank you, Death of a Salesman.
Wait, that's what you were thinking of with My Four Sons?
I'm not kidding you.
I think there are a bunch of sons in that.
Yes,
yeah.
There are sons.
Willie Loman.
And it's like a mean dad, sons, salesman. Yes. And I saw Brian Dennehy in that in like the St. Louis like traveling production.
Wow.
And I just remember being like, this is awkward. He's just like, we know you're acting. It's like, it's just like right here. And you're like, and then they bow at the end and they're like break character. And it's just kind of embarrassing. Man. Even though I'm dying to be in a musical at some point. And I do love musicals.
Have you ever seen the Lady in the Fountain? Lady in the Fountain?
No, what's that?
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of Phantom of the Opera.
A mask man. Half mask man.
Half mask face off. Oh, face
off. Yeah. I just ASMR needed to be real. What was I going to say?
We're talking about your bed habits.
Can I say something about the bed habits?
Please.
There's another reason why we can't sleep in the same bed is because frequently I'll wake up in the middle of the night screaming.
What?
Yeah, I'll be screaming, and I've done it this week because I'm afraid.
Why?
I have a lot of fear. Well, it's anxiety, and I think it's connected to ASMR too. I think people with high anxiety can experience the ASMR better because they need to chill. But like this weekend, I was afraid that the man next door is going to come attack me.
Retaliate.
And so I wake up screaming. And you know, there was one time when I was in college, I lived in a house with four other people, and one time I woke up in the middle of the night screaming because I thought I saw a demon in the top right corner, like, and it looked like a black large hornet flapping its wings. And you know that moment?
Well, that's the thing people have.
Yes. You know that moment when you're like are about to wake up but you're still asleep and so you're like semi-aware?
Yes.
Well, that happened to me. I saw the demon hornet in the corner. I got out of my bed screaming and I ran through the house screaming.
And when did you realize you were screaming running through the house and there wasn't a hornet? Like it dawned on you at some point and then you had to slow down your pace.
I heard in the distance one my roommate go, "Shut the fuck up."
And it woke you up out of it.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh god."
Oh, was there so any part of you that was like, no, you don't understand. There's a hornet.
I understood immediately that there was no hornet. And I was like, sorry. And then I went back to sleep.
God, your mind betrays you. Everyone has this where you're like, our mind hijacks us and convinces us of something that's just not real and not happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's my deep philosophical.
Well, dreaming is like people, Sam Harris, I like that he always says people are scared to do psychedelics and they're like, where's my mind going to see? Or they're scared to do, I guess it's like the fear of doing psychedelics. And he goes, every single night you go to sleep and your brain enters into a world that you have no conscious control of, that you are going, that you literally think you're in. You are in a hallucination every single night of your fucking life. What are you scared of? It's sleep is no different than tripping. It's just, and you, no one goes to, I mean, there, unless you're in Freddy Krueger movies or unless, you know, I think that there are people that are scared to go to sleep because they have to wake up in the morning and like get up and like, I'm scared of sleeping sometimes, not because of dreams. I'm just scared of like, I know this day, the next time I open my eyes will be like work I have to do. But I'm not someone who, I never fear dreaming. If anything, I'm always looking forward to it. But to do hallucinogens, I'm terrified of that, of like what hornets are going to chase me and that thing. Even though every time I fall asleep, I'm bound to see something. Like I would say once a week I have a scary dream, but yeah. I'm not fearful all the time. So I just think that's interesting that we do surrender to this thing that we literally have no idea why it happens, how it happens. Science like has not broken it. Yet we enter into that and we're not totally terrified. We don't judge it. But like, you know, LSD and people are just like, you know, there's so much stigma around that. Have you ever done hallucinogens, Brian?
No. And I am one of the people that's scared of it. The only drug I've done is weed and every other drug I'm really scared of. And like, did that sound really uncool?
I mean, the only drug just done.
I've done
like doing weed is funny. Yeah.
Yeah. That just shows how I'm not cool. Okay. And I am not cool.
No
and
one
I am proud of it.
Thought you were. No, well, you are cool.
Story was kind of cool.
Yeah. You're cool. The possum story is cool as fuck.
You have cool stories.
I don't think it's good to be cool. I don't think it's good.
What? Okay. More it's on more this dangerous. When we get back. We have to take a break. We have to hear why being cool is not cool to Brian Francis when we get back.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky, smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Okay, Brian, we're back. Why is being cool not cool?
Well, I think people that are being cool are generally trying too hard to put on some kind of persona that isn't real, and mm-hmm. it makes them cuh. Yeah,
you know, cuh.
I listen to the podcast. There's two things that I need clarification on.
Okay, fine.
So you used to say very frequently, Noah is in Arizona. And I didn't listen to the episode where that became a thing. So I want to know, is Noah in Arizona, or are you saying like there's a city in Arizona?
No, she is in Arizona. She lives in Arizona. Yes.
Okay.
And it just sounds cool, but it's just true.
When I heard that, I looked it up, and it turns out there is a city in Arizona named Noah.
Stop.
Oh, wow.
It's the same way. It has an H at the end. But
whoa,
I was like... Maybe that's what they're saying. They're like,
yeah, maybe there was like a thing about Noah, Arizona.
Yeah. And it's like as if you were saying like, and if you had if your podcast producer was named Cleveland, if you're like, and Cleveland's in Ohio, it would be like the same thing.
Oh, that's funny.
I thought it was that joke.
Well, thanks for doing that research and making the that thing any more than what it was than just a factual statement that Noah actually lives in Arizona. Brian, I mean, this is pretty much cuz what you're talking about. Like, anyone who's cool has put in effort to be cool. Therefore, it makes it uncool.
Yes. And it makes them less happy because now they're trying hard to put on a persona and they're not truly being themselves. And I think the coolest thing you can do is be unapologetically yourself.
Yes. Honestly, okay, yes. That is. But you know what's so hard is, you know, and I go back to this all the time. Chris always says to me, I've never met someone who wants to be something other than what they are more than you. Like, wants to like things that they don't like. And I've talked about this ad nauseum on here, so I apologize. But, like, I wish I was someone who liked to bake. I wish I was someone who liked to organize. I wish I was someone who liked clean linens and, like, to smell them. And, like, I always picture Anya, like, when you would, like, fold things and you would just stare at your closet of folded things and you would be like... like, I wish I was that kind of person that, like, liked
it
folding
your
things.
Closet I was doing.
Yes. Okay. Well, even more so. Why did I had to pay you to do that for me?
I wish I could be that person today because I have a pile of shit all over my bed that needs to be folded.
I really would love if you had an actual pile of shit that you needed to fold. But, I wish I was that person. And... I think that, when you are your coolest self, you're okay that you don't like those things. Like, but it's so hard for me to, traveling makes me so depressed because you're just alone all day with your fucking thoughts and you're just on your phone constantly. So you're comparing yourself to everyone. And it's just so hard not to hate yourself for the things that you're not. Or like because I always talk about like if you have a good body, it's because you got lucky with genetically or you're just a person who likes to work out or has the motivation to do so. And if you don't work out, it's not because you're a fat, lazy piece of shit. It's because you just don't have the brain that was, that is conducive to working out every day. And you can't compare yourself to Kirsten Florman, who loves working out because she was born with athletic parents who have that genetic disposition to like working out. Like, it's not because you're a worse person. She just got lucky in that way. But it's hard not to think that, why can't I be that way? Like, why did she get that and I didn't and go down that spiral? I mean, I'm never someone who's like, I need to get off Instagram. But yesterday I was in a bad place with it of like, it's Instagram's trying to get me to kill myself. I think they're really, which is is antithetical to what they actually want, which is me to live and keep spending money. Why are they trying to get us to be suicidal and like hate ourselves so much? And the truth is because you can't sell anything unless someone feels deficient. 100%. You cannot sell a single product. I don't know why I always have known that, but you have to understand people, no one, even me selling this podcast to you, I have to make you feel in some way that you need this podcast in your life, that your life is not good enough without listening to me in order for you to listen to this podcast. Everything That is a consumer product. You need to convince the person, the consumer, that they're not good enough. In some way, their life is lacking. So there is not a single brand of clothing, a single, face soap or face wash or lip balm or, plus sized jumper that is not trying to that is actually trying to make you feel good about yourself. They don't want that. Maybe the people that created it, the woman behind this jumpsuit that cinches at the waist and makes you look thinner, she had a good thought in mind of like, I want to make bigger women feel confident about themselves. If you did actually feel confident about yourself, you wouldn't need this fucking waist tightening suit. So it does not actually, you might think that you want people to feel better about themselves, but you wouldn't sell this thing unless if people did, if people liked themselves for who they were. The only person who really wants you to like yourself is fucking Lizzo. And she's, and even she's selling Yitty, that clothing line. And to buy that line, you have to feel deficient in some way in your life that I don't have that cute of leggings. I don't have like, I would never think that I'm someone that wants people to feel lacking in their life in order to sell what I'm selling, but I must, because that's the only way to sell something.
Yeah. I mean, right? That's rule number one of sales is you have to establish a need, and then you have to make them aware of that need. And then you can say, I have a solution to your problem.
Yeah.
That's why those old school commercials with the vacuum cleaners is always like the black and white picture with the person with the shitty vacuum cleaner going like, struggling. Oh God, this is so hard. Yeah. And they're like, is this you? And it's like, I guess it is me. And then they're like, well, check out this vacuum cleaner that's in color.
Even like, I feel like what I like to do, my product is making people feel less alone. Talking about my insecurities and being honest with myself so that people feel less weird about themselves. But I need you to feel weird about yourself in order to need me.
There's no shortage really of that. You don't have to do anything because everyone feels weird about themselves. Like that's the thing about, I think, podcasts and like what you're bringing to the table is that like people, you're not providing the problem. People have the problem no matter what. And you're providing some level of comfort for the problem.
But, products do bring comfort. You know, the massages and, beds, like linen, like nice things, comfy clothes. They bring comfort, but you need to create an air of discomfort in order for that person to buy it. And I just think now when I look at products, I just go like, this product line, no matter how good they are trying to make me feel like they care about me, they don't. They don't like me. They hate me. They want me to be. And by the way, if their product solved my problems, I wouldn't need it anymore. And they need repeat customers. They need you to come back. So it's not just. It's pretty disappointing when you think about it all. And I was just on yesterday. I told Anya, I'm like, I got to get off Instagram. And so we both decided no more for today. And then I asked her to look at something. And then she was like, God damn it. And I was like, fuck, I got you back on.
I told her, I go, I think I'm over it too. I'm good for the rest of the night. I'm not going to get on Instagram. And then I closed my app and I reopened it. And I was like,
well, I told you to look at someone's story that I don't want them to see that I saw their story.
But
and
before
I'm not
that
someone,
even, I did it.
I will not fucking make it a fake account to stalk people. I will just ask my friends to do it. I'm not ever going to create a fake account to look at someone. I feel like that is so low. I'd rather tell my friends, hey, will you look at her story so she doesn't know that I'm monitoring what she's doing? I would rather do that. And then they screenshot it and send it to me. And then I have screenshots in my phone of this person's life. Like, it's much more incriminating.
I told my friend,
create a fake account.
I do this with my friend too. And I'm like, can I FaceTime you through your computer? And then you point your phone so I could look at this story.
That's really so good. Lame.
Inventive.
But that's a good idea though. I mean, my friend the other day, I go, is he watching your stories about this person that I was interested in, and who this person has blocked me on all of their things. So I know they have a secret account to look at my stuff, but I know that I can't ever communicate with them knowing that they see it, And I really want this person to like see how much I hate them. And it's not who you think it is. If whoever is listening, listeners, it's not who you think it is or who you might be thinking. You literally have no idea who this person is. Brian, I'll tell you at some point. But my friend, I know that they follow my friend and that they sometimes watch their stories. And so I was like, put me on your story and I'm just going to be like, kid. And I'm just going to do, and she's like, I have like people watching this. I go, you have to sacrifice it because the only way that I'm going to get my message through to this person is to be like, kid. And so we shot, I like had her, every time I'm with her, I'm like, can we please shoot some kids to throw this person's way? And then she screenshots it to be like, he saw it. I'm like, yes, he knows that I think of, because he knows that I know that he's watching that because she doesn't have that many followers. It's like, it's totally, it's such a low thing for me to do. But final thought, when people watch your Instagram stories, that's how you know they're jealous of you. They're they like you. They hate you. Like, if that is the number one litmus test, would you disagree? To find out if someone's like, if I suddenly see a famous person or a certain guy or a certain girl watching my stories, I go, someone's checking in on me. Someone's jealous. Someone's like, it's because I know that's the only reason I watch people's stories. I mean, sometimes you go through stories because you're bored and you're just blah, 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 blah. But if you're going through someone's stories that you've never gone through and you pop up under mine, sure, I know what you're doing.
I mean, I look at your stories. What does that mean?
Because okay, or you're their friend and you do it all the time. Like when you watch my stories, I'm not like, oh my God, he's jealous or he's checking in on me. I'm just like, it's my friend Brian. Like that's, there's a caveat there. That's different. When Anya or Noah watch my stories, I'm not like, ooh, she like is jealous of my skin tone today. I'm just like, and by the way, when people think, when I say I think people are jealous of me, I know that they shouldn't be. I'm saying this with like, I'm jealous of people all the time too. And I guess I'm just projecting. When I'm watching someone's stories I don't watch a lot, it's usually because I'm like, what did they get? Oh my God, what are they doing in their life? Why? I'm comparing myself to them being like, well, how am I deficient? Okay, sorry, I interrupted. What did you say?
Well, when you watch a story of someone that you're not following, this definitely applies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, I have guys that I've met in passing and, or, you know, I could, they, and then suddenly they just start showing up under my Instagram story. And it's a way to flirt. It's a way to go, hey, I'm here. When I've been single before, I've done it where I've just start watching guys' stories that I'm not following because I know that my blue check mark is going to send me to the top of their views. And then they'll know I'm interested. And then that starts the discourse in a Bumble type way that is like me making the first move, but not really. And girls, by the way, if you're on Bumble, do not make the first move. That's not going to work for you. Maybe do an emoji, but don't actually say anything like, hey, what's your favorite movie? Like, guys, don't, you can't do that. Girls, don't make the first move. You can
don't
make an emoji.
To make the first move? Okay.
Yes, but it has to be an emoji or something. Bumble forces the girls to make the first move, but just do it very subtly, like just a picture, like a like or a tap or something. Don't do an actual sentence.
I think that's fantastic advice. I don't, the question, like a too hard question, I think is not a good thing to do.
Oh no, guys don't want to be interviewed, and yeah, it's no, don't do that. And then let's real quick, because just for the sake of doing it, because we had it planned, let's do a top one, bottom one.
Okay.
And the category today, because we have the author and creator of AppleRankings.com is Brian Frangie, which you got to check out. AppleRankings.com is so funny. And it really is a passionate, hilarious take on every kind of Apple. And he does like a 9-point rating system? A rubric? You used the word rubric last night?
The F100, the Frangie 100. It is my namesake and my legacy. And I have no children. And this is, this is all I have. So it's broken down into 9 categories that are 10 points each, except for one category, taste, which is weighted twice at 20 points, and it adds up to 100. And then I do give bonus points for certain factors like use, uniqueness, things like that. But it's the F100. So it's out of 100, but it's not like a test where 65 is pass and like you're not good if you're not a 90 or above. It's like a bell curve.
Okay. Well, I don't know what that means exactly, but yes. Okay. So do you feel like your take on these apples is like the right take, or is it just your opinion? Like, do you feel like you have a better palate than most people?
I don't feel like I'm superior to anybody other than that I have tried all these apples, and there's a lot of people who think they like an apple, and it's just that they haven't tried enough apples.
Got it.
Now, there's a few apples that people are passionate about that they all love, and I just can't get
behind. The Honeycrisp.
Well, the Honeycrisp is a top
Gala, one. Fiji.
Yeah, so like there's certain apples that everyone, that Fuji, many people, I mean, are like mad at me. Like, I get into legitimate
arguments. My mouth is watering looking at his site. It's so weird.
Yeah. Well, don't you describe, what do you describe biting into a Red Delicious as? It's
That's
one of my favorite.
Coffee grinds in a leather glove.
Coffee grinds in a leather glove is what biting into a Red
That's
Delicious
so
is like.
That's so accurate.
Yes, it is a thick skin, mealy disgrace. And it used to be a good apple. It used to be a good apple back in the turn of the century.
It did. Well, you get them sometimes. You can get a good Red Delicious where you bite into it and it cracks off. You don't have to go. There's no like, I don't even know if you have a word for that, where you have to like put your teeth through it. I like when you bite an apple and you can just go crack and you just crack it off. And that's, it's like a jawbreaker almost. Oh, it's so good. Okay.
Those were the
days. Let's do our top one, bottom one today.
Let's do a rapid fire.
It's going to be rapid fire. This has to be quick. We're doing fruit. That's the category. Top one, bottom one. Let's start with bottom one because we always do. What is your least favorite fruit, Brian?
Well, I have a new bottom one. It's not the least favorite apple I'm going to do, not least favorite fruit, but that's
okay.
I just found the golden russet apple, which I labeled a putrid corpse because it's like it looks like it's a decomposing, you know, stinking corpse.
Oh,
it looks like the, you know, like the Addams Family. It looks like an apple that they would use.
Right.
It's good for cider production, but the apples that I bought at the farmer's market, they stank like shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And so an apple that stinks and looks like a corpse and then it doesn't taste good.
The golden, what did you call it? The golden russet?
Golden russet. It's good for cider production.
Yeah, it sounds like a fucking
russet, a potato.
Yeah.
In apple parlance, russet is the brownish, rust-like skin.
I don't need you to finish that sentence. Okay. So, okay. My least favorite fruit is grapefruit. I don't get it. I know it's like a diety, like everyone loves it. It tastes bitter. It's not good. It doesn't make, I had it in a salad the other day. Anya, you witnessed me eat it. I ate around it and then I was still hungry at the end and I was like, okay, fine, I'll eat the grapefruit. And it was just like so gross and bitter. Me no like. Okay, Anya, what's your least favorite?
Love the look of this fruit. Really disappointed by the taste of a dragon fruit.
I don't know what a dragon fruit is.
It looks like, you know, cookies and cream ice cream. It's just
white. Oh, it has like dots in it?
Yeah, it's beautiful, but it tastes like shit.
That was on a fruit plate I got at the hotel on Saturday, and I couldn't eat it because I was just like, or on Sunday, and I was like, I don't want to try this. Okay, so it's not a good taste?
Not very good, just not satisfying, not sweet. Yeah.
All right, Noah?
My least favorite, I'd have to say, is the orange. Too much work, not enough satisfaction at the end.
What about a little cutie?
Yeah, get a little cutie.
Those are no work. Those come off like so easily.
Those are different.
A scab,
the small ones.
Fourth week.
That's like a tangerine is fine, but I just like orange, not into it. I don't like the flavor.
Please, I like the way you said
Barry's whole bit about oranges. Oranges. He hates them.
Noah
says
a orange.
Very long bit.
Wait, do you say orange, Brian? You're
orange. Orange.
Okay.
Orange. Is that right?
Do you hear the difference, Noah?
Orange.
And you say
orange.
Water. Water.
Water.
Water.
Water.
Water. Water.
Yeah. Cute. Okay. Orange. Orange. So, okay, let's get to the best. What's your favorite fruit?
Sweet tango.
Favorite apple? Yeah, it's a sweet tango apple. It's a crisp, crunchy apple that's only available in September and October of every year. If you get it outside of those months, then it's probably been frozen and shipped from New Zealand. It's not going to taste as good unless you live in New Zealand.
Oh my God. Rapid fire. Good to know. Sweet tango. Try it out, you guys, this fall. Yeah. I'm sure you have. My favorite fruit, this is going to be controversial, honeydew. I love it. It is fresh. It is light. It is always, sometimes it can be rot. Like if it gets like, you know, it turns, I think that's when people get turned off from the honeydew is it can easily turn and ruin a fruit salad and just be that stinky kind of like mildewy thing. Mm-hmm. But a fresh honeydew, I like the color. It's a soothing color. It's feels light on sugar, so you can eat a massive amounts of it, which I love anything that you can just eat a ton of and never stop. And it's really like hydrating. I just think it's so fresh. I like it better than cantaloupe. I know that's a hot take, but that is how I feel.
That is a hot take. Honeydew needs to be perfectly ripe.
No, I'll take it crispy. I'll take it, I just like it any way. I'm a, I'm a melon head, as Chris used to call me, because I would just eat melon all day. And I'm just, I took a break from fruit for a while because I was just like trying to avoid sugar. But now I'm back in the honeydew. Why pizza and honeydew? I'm back in, baby. Yeah. I love it too much. Not combined, obviously. Okay, Anya, what is your favorite fruit?
Well, even though I went through a huge mango phase, as Nikki knows, and a mango recently took out part of my tooth bonding, I have to go with Braeburn apples. They're crispy, they're dependable, they're delicious. And Braeburn,
aren't those kind of like, aren't those like when you bite into it, it goes like,
no, it breaks off.
Or is it, it breaks off? Okay.
Yeah. What do you think?
Braeburn's not a bad apple.
Can you tell us about Braeburn?
Braeburn is, I call it the civil rights apple because it was back in the 50s. Back in the 50s, single colored apples were the rule of the day. You had a red apple and a green apple, but you didn't have any apples that would sell that were multicolored. And the Braeburn was the first apple that was both red and green. And it took over the marketing because people were like, I don't think this is a brand new.
It was like those cotton candy grapes. People were like blown away by it.
It paved the way for multicolored apples to become a part of apples.
It's like the Winnie Harlow of apples.
But they are disappearing because they are susceptible to certain diseases and they're really hard to make. And so there's a lot of Braeburn children that have Braeburn parentage that are becoming more popular than the Braeburn. And over the next 10 years, you're probably not going to see Braeburns outside of farmers markets or orchards. They're going to disappear.
I mean, you look like this close-up shot of you looks like an NPR guy giving like a
insane person.
Agricultural front lines report. Yes. Okay, good to know. Thank you so much, Brian, for informing us about the heritage and the future of the Braeburn apple. And then Noah, what is your favorite fruit?
Okay,
this is gonna be a crazy. I just know your answer is gonna be insane.
Okay, my true favorite fruit is the apricot. But I'm going to say...
That, again, insane. What the fuck? Those are only consumed dry. Has anyone ever had a wet apricot?
Yes.
Apricot. They're not wet. That's the problem.
Isn't that the one that Armie Hammer fucked and ate? Or is that someone's arm?
That's another stone fruit.
Okay, yes. Okay, stone fruit is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Because they have a little core that's a stone?
A pit.
Oh, okay, never heard of that.
I like that the pit is like always clean. There's like never any like tentacles or anything like that.
Mm. Oh, that's a good point. A clean pit. All right. But, and then what you said, but.
But I want to hear Brian do a rapid fire about my favorite apple, which is the Granny Smith.
Yeah. Controversial, bitter,
Granny. Very divisive apple. It's an apple that I get a lot of flack for because I rank it very low because it's sour. It's definitely the most sour apple.
It's made for baking, right?
It's a baking apple. I give it a 57 out of 100. It's too thick skinned. It's making my
stomach hurt thinking about
my
it.
My mouth is watering again.
It makes your gums bleed. Scientifically,
my gums are bleeding.
Yes. If you eat too many Granny Smiths,
that's the new mouth watering.
Your gums will bleed. Your tooth enamel will erode. But it also has a lot of fiber, so it's good for pooping. And
you just solved something for me from childhood because I love Granny Smith. But one time I bit into one and there was blood in it, and I thought I ate a worm. But now you're explaining to me why.
But worms don't really have blood, do they? Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't go fishing.
There's actually an enzyme. So there's an enzyme in the Granny Smith apple that makes certain people's gums bleed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Brian, well, can I ask you really quick? My mom is from Kazakhstan, and she claims that apples originated in Kazakhstan. And there's actually a book called that. Is it true? Do you know this?
100% true. That is where the original apple came from. Wild apples all came from Kazakhstan.
Thank you. Spasiba.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, I just got a text that my sister's dog is being put down today. So we got to go. Everyone, RIP Wilson, he's filled with tumors and he has to be put down today. I just got a text. I'm so sorry to end on a sad note, but that is the circle of life. He ate a bad apple. sweet Willie. It's so sad. Fuck. Okay, I'm sorry to end it on that, but I have to go because I actually am going to the dermatologist to get a bunch of stuff injected in my face. So I'll look different next week. There will be one less dog in the world, but maybe I'll add a dog to my life. I know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bug everyone it's going to be okay. He'll go peacefully surrounded by his loved ones, and it's a better solution for him than living with all these tumors. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Love you, and don't be cut. And jackfruit was not talked about, but is that a fruit? We'll discuss. Never.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb, available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.